It's the fourth Sunday of Advent, so I want to speak to you this morning about love. In Advent, we look at the themes of hope, peace, joy, and today, love. It's only 4 days to Christmas, and at Christmas, the love that God has for his creation is really expressed. As we pause this morning, let's take the time to reflect about the theme of love. Love isn't just a vague sentimental emotion. The love that the world so often speaks about in song, in film, is not real love. The love of God is a love that changes everything. The love of God brings us salvation. The love of God brings us transformation. And the love of God is something that we should have deep in our hearts. It's interesting singing that song. At the start of that song, we were talking about joy and having joy deep in our hearts. I think as Christians, sometimes the joy that we are meant to have may dwell in our heart, but it doesn't quite make it to our face at times. Indeed, thinking about love, we know we are supposed to love other people the way that Christ loves them, but we don't always do that, do we? Sometimes personalities get in the way. Sometimes we really just can't be bothered. And I often think, what if Jesus hadn't have been bothered? What if on the day that he was meant to go to Calvary, he changed his mind and said, no, I'm not going to do it. We would all be lost without hope if Jesus wasn't willing, out of love, to go to Calvary. He paid a price we could never pay. He suffered a death that we have escaped, all because of his love for us. I want us to focus this morning on 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to be reading verses 7 to 12. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Notice how in this passage, John begins by defining love as the mark of a child of God. On this Advent Sunday, Advent, it's not just about lights, it's not just about carols, it's not just about gifts. Advent is a season for us to behold God's ultimate expression of love. That expression of love in Jesus Christ. And we are called to respond in repentance, in faith, and in obedient love. Repentance. Well, didn't we do that when we first came to the Lord? Yes, we did. But I would suggest that we also need to examine ourselves daily. We need to challenge ourselves daily. And if there's anything that is not right in God's sight that we're allowing in our lives, we need to repent from that. It could be we listen to the wrong kind of thing on the radio. It could be we watch the wrong kind of thing on TV. It could be that we just don't have the mind of Christ or the attitude of Christ like we should. Whatever it is that's stopping us moving forward in our faith, whatever it is that's stopping us being true disciples of the living God, we need to repent and move on from it. God loves us. We're meant to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. But so often in the 21st century, God gets second place, third place, last place. He's meant to be the focus. He's meant to be the center. Let's keep him where he's meant to be. The first thing I want us to think about this morning is the fact that God is love. He is the source of love. He is the standard of love. If we look at verse 7, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Here the Greek word for love is agape. It's a sacrificial love. It's an unconditional love. It's a love that chooses the good of others above self. It's the love that says, oh, it's raining, I'm going to give you my umbrella and I'm going to get wet. It's the love that says, I'll get up extra early to give you a lift to church or pick you up from the station. It's the love that says, I will go the extra mile because I love Jesus and I want to show his love to the world. Unlike the fleeting love of feelings, agape originates with God himself. The early church, they faced divisions, they faced persecution, they often faced confusion. And John wrote to the early church, to the early believers, to remind them that the love of God is the hallmark of true Christian identity. I don't know if you've got any jewellery, but maybe you wear a ring that's got a hallmark inside that shows that it's genuine, that it's real. When people look at us, the hallmark is Christ shining from us. It's not about what we keep hidden on the inside. It's about what we allow the world to see. And for us, love isn't an optional extra. Love is something that we are meant to show. The essence of God's character is love, and we are called to love one another. Maybe look at a person near you. You're meant to love that person. Now, maybe Norman is easy to love. Yeah. Norman is a talented musician. He can sing. And he's got a nice smile. Maybe he's easy to love in this church. Oh, Karen. Karen's got a nice smile. Is that enough to love her? Maybe look past the smile, look at the servant heart, look at the willingness to be a leader of this congregation. That's a reason to love, isn't it? Getting up early every Sunday morning, fighting through traffic when there's the Christmas market on, all to be here and greet you with a smile. Hallelujah. Okay, that's two examples of love. What about the rest of you? What do you do to show the love of God? The people that you work with, your neighbours, your own family, do they know that you love them because you know that God loves you? Love's not optional. 1 John verse 4 verse 8 says this. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. We live in a world where there's transactional relationships. We live in a world where everyone expects something in return. But God calls us to be sacrificial in the way that we love. God calls us to reflect his self-giving nature. If we asked ourselves today, is my love reactive, or is my love reflective of God's love? I wonder what our answers would be. Preacher and teacher John Piper wrote this: God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Piper's reminding us here that true love for others flows out of our satisfaction in God. We're satisfied because he saved us. We're satisfied because he set us free from sin. We're satisfied because he cares about our lives. Maybe we live in a world that tries to grasp or strive for affection. Or there are people who are looking for validation. The world is full of people who seem to think, if they put a video on Facebook or they say something on TikTok, that they're going to have all these people following them and desperate to find out what it is they think. The only one who's really worth following is Jesus. The things of the world are temporary. The things of this world will pass. Fads come and go. And sadly, there are those that are misled by the fads of the world. There was a challenge recently on social media to encourage children to eat dry noodles. The kind of, if you've ever had a pot noodle or something like that, you know that you look at it and you've got to add water. But kids have been challenged to eat them raw. The problem with that is that when it reaches the stomach, it draws the fluid from the stomach and it swells up inside, and because it hasn't been cooked, it can actually cause things to get blocked. And kids have been hospitalised for eating raw noodles. Why? Because they're following a fad, they're following a craze. Maybe if their eyes were fixed on Jesus, as our eyes are meant to be, they'd ignore the things of the world and think more about the things of heaven. God invites us to know him. God invites us to trust him. God invites us to follow the truth in his word. Not the fads of the world, not the phases, but the truth that he has given to us. Imagine for a moment a candle in a dark room. The candle does not have to look for darkness. The candle naturally dispels darkness as it glows. And that's how it's meant to be with us, friends. We are meant to abide in Christ. We are meant to shine for Christ. We are meant to be the light in the darkness in this sad and broken world. And God's love, it calls us to be light, to bring relief, to bring truth, to share the goodness and the wonderful message of the gospel. There is a way of salvation. There is a saviour. There is a Lord. And we can know him as the light of the world, as the light in the darkness, the one who illuminates the darkest of our nights. One of the songs that we sang earlier mentioned God being the God in the storm. God is our God before the storm, during the storm, and after the storm. He doesn't leave us, he doesn't forsake us, he doesn't abandon us to the storm. He is there with us. He is the light in our darkness. He is the source and the standard of truth and light. Let me encourage you this morning, abide in God's love. When the situation feels dark, when circumstances seem to be against you, trust in God. He is faithful. He is true. He loves us so much. Second point, God demonstrated love through sacrifice. If we look at verses 9 and 10, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Here, John is emphasizing that love is action-orientated. God's love, it's not just sentiment. It's sacrificial. It's redemptive. At the communion table, we were reminded of the price that Jesus paid for us. For us to be saved, for us to be forgiven, for us to be set free from the burden of our sin. The word in the Greek that's used here for sacrifice, it refers to an atoning act. It refers to restoring a broken relationship with God. We've been set free. Think about the Old Testament. In Old Testament times, atonement involved the blood of lambs. It involved multiple sacrifices because no sacrifice was ever enough to deal with a price of sin. But Jesus sacrificed himself, the perfect sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. And 2,000 years later, his sacrifice is still setting sinners free from the power of sin. At God, he came, he was incarnated. He entered into creation as a baby. But he grew into a child, into a man who was willing to go to the cross for us. And yes, he died, but he rose again. We worship the one who has been triumphant over death. We worship our risen Lord and Saviour. And yes, one day he's coming back. Every day is one day closer. And in many ways, it's not important when he's coming, but are we ready for him to come? I remember a few years ago, people used to say, quick, look busy, Jesus is coming. But it's not a joke, he is coming. At the moment that the last person professes faith in Jesus as Lord and Saviour, that's when Jesus will return. That could be tomorrow, it could be today, it could be 5 minutes from now. Are you ready to meet your Saviour? Are you ready to meet your Lord? Romans 5:8 says this, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. This is the core of Advent love. It's not sentimental, it's not soft, it's not conditional. God's love is on the move. While we were still sinners, while we were his enemies, God was willing to die for us. You know, Christmas begins not in our goodness. Christmas actually begins in our brokenness. God didn't want us to clean ourselves. He provided the way for us to be clean in his sight. For us to have a way of salvation, for us to have a way to eternal life. He sent his Son, so all who trust in him are forgiven, set free from the burden of sin, and guaranteed eternity with him. It's a wonderful thought. While we were still sinners, God stepped into history. He stepped in to do what we could not, to pay the price. The manger, in many ways, it casts a shadow towards the cross. This is the wonder of Advent. The child in Bethlehem becomes the saviour at Calvary. Love came down not to just sympathise with us, not to just pat us on the shoulder and try and make us feel better. Love came down to save us. The incarnation is God's loud declaration to all that his love is proactive, that his love is sacrificial, that his love is costly. If you ever wonder how much you're worth to God, remember the price for your salvation was Jesus. You are worth the Son of God to God the Father. That's a humbling thought, isn't it? I mean, me, yeah. I live in Rochford. I'm a London boy, moved to Essex. I was born as a Jew. I never knew Messiah until someone invited me to church. And I realised that everything I'd been taught about at synagogue, everything that I'd heard from the Torah was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. I realised that Messiah had come because someone took the time out of love to share truth with me. I often wonder, do I take enough opportunities to share the truth with others the way it was shared with me? Do all of us take every opportunity to speak of the love of Jesus that came down at Christmas? John Stott wrote this. He said, the essence of love is self-sacrifice. That's Advent love, isn't it, friends? The self-sacrifice of Jesus. He enters our darkness. He pays our debt. He suffers in our place. Not because we deserved it, but because God loves us. This Advent, it calls us to more than just admiration. It calls us more than just looking at the Advent story again. It calls us to actually respond. It calls us to take the opportunity to draw closer to God. To respond by telling others about the love that Jesus has for us. And the fact that he came for us while we were still sinners, before we knew him, before we repented, before we believed, he was willing to die for us. Original leader Dave Campbell, he quite often says in his preaching that what you're looking at now is the improved version. This is what I'm like once I've known Christ, once Christ has been part of my life. And he often says, you wouldn't want to have known him before he came to the Lord. I'll be honest, over the years, I've met some Christians who, if what they currently are is the improved version, I do worry about what they were like before God met them. I'm sure you've met Christians like that, friends. Yeah, those who seem to suck lemons 23 out of 24 hours a day. Those who seem to be so far away from expressing the love of God that you wonder, is God even in their lives? But then I've also met those who just radiate the love of God. The moment you walk into a room, the room seems to be lit with a brightness and a radiance. It's full of a joy and a peace that passes all understanding, because someone in that room absolutely lives and breathes for Christ. We sang earlier, didn't we, about it's his breath in our lungs. Every breath that we have is a blessing. There is a thing called breath prayer, where as you inhale and exhale, you're meant to thank God for something. Maybe it's just for that breath. Maybe it's for the fact that you woke up that morning. Maybe it's for the fact that you know that God is with you. Or maybe it's just thanking God that he's actually closer than our own breath. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. The presence of the Lord is with us. Day by day. Not just at Christmas, not just at Easter when we think about his sacrifice and his resurrection, but God is with us every day. That's a love worth trusting, isn't it? That's a love worth following. That's a love that should be central to our lives. Think about the words of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. We're not redeemed by gold or silver. In Bible times, the price of a slave was 30 pieces of silver. Again, when we think about our worth to God, we're worth far more than gold or silver. If you follow the markets, you'll know that gold prices are at an all-time high. God's love doesn't waver. It doesn't change with the markets. It doesn't change with the wind. He loves us unconditionally because of what his Son has done for us. In God's love, he doesn't wait for us to be perfect. Christ came for sinners. Christ came for people like you, like me. Our response should be heartfelt gratitude. Our response should be trust, love, thankfulness. American preacher and teacher Charles Stanley, he wrote this: "The measure of your love for God is the depth of your love for his Son." The measure of your love for God is the depth of your love for his Son. Again, we're back to that song, aren't we? Joy deep in my heart, love deep in my heart. Do we have that joy? Do we have that love? Do we have that peace? Do we have that hope in our Saviour, in our Lord? How deep is your love for Jesus? Stanley here, he is helping us to understand that God's love is inseparable from faith in Christ's saving work. It's not just about knowing of Jesus. It's about trusting in Jesus as Lord and as Saviour. His love for us is not theoretical. His love for us is true. His love for us is grounded in the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. God paid our debt in the blood of his Son. And because of that, we're set free. And because of that, we should love him. Not because we're compelled to, but because we want to. Not because we're forced like mindless puppets, but because we willingly surrender ourselves to him. Third point, love calls for action amongst believers. We're looking at verses 11 and 12 now of 1 John 4. "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us." The expression that's used here in the Greek for full expression, it means complete or perfect. God's love in us matures as we live it out, as we grow closer to him on our walk of discipleship. We learn to love him more. We learn to trust him more. You know, the first century world when this letter was written, the church was diverse. There was different backgrounds, different languages, different practices, different cultures. In many ways, no different from the church in the 21st century. And as John writes to them, he calls them and he calls us to consecrate love, to make love important, especially in the face of conflict. Yeah, Jesus explained that we must love God with all our heart. In fact, Jesus commanded us to love our neighbour as ourselves. Oh, Dean, you don't know my neighbour. They have loud music playing all hours of the night. And whenever I put my washing out on the line, that's when they decide to have a barbecue in the summer. You have no idea how my neighbours are. How can you say I should love them? Because Jesus told us to. It's not my words. It's not my opinion. It's what Jesus said. And in fact, that should be our motivation every day of our lives. What did Jesus say? What should I do? How should I live? How should I act? What did Jesus say? Now, I know in Bible times that not everything that exists in the world today existed then. Like, there was no internet. There was no mobile phones. There was no 24-hour television. But the principles that Jesus taught are still relevant to us today. If something is sinful, avoid it. Yeah. Don't subscribe to something on YouTube that you know God wouldn't watch. Don't allow something to come from your lips that you know Jesus would never have spoken. We're meant to be like Christ, little Christ. That's what Christian means. And yes, it was first used as an insult, but it is who we are. We're meant to be his disciples. We're meant to be like him. We're meant to follow him. We're meant to love him and others. If you remember the Apostle Paul, when he wrote various letters, he encouraged people to serve one another, because the whole law can be summed up in one commandment: love your neighbour as yourself. Or again, in Corinthians, he wrote, love is patient, kind, enduring. It keeps no record of wrongs. Maybe we'd get on better with one another if we kept no records of wrongs. Oh, but I remember in the summer of 1962, such and such said, no, you can't have an extra cake with the refreshments after the service. It sounds stupid, but I know people who have not spoken to people for years for less. We allow ourselves to get in the way. Instead of being open and being like Christ, we build these barriers around us. We create situations and circumstances that brings division in God's church. And yeah, we may not always agree with one another, but we're still meant to love one another. Love is not sentimental, it's a service to the Lord. It's sacrifice, it's forgiveness, it's patience. That's true love. In the digital age that we live in, that might mean choosing humility in your online transactions. That before you press the send button on WhatsApp, you think about what you've typed in. Is that really what I want to say? How is the other person going to read it or receive it? Or maybe in the modern world, it's standing for justice in the workplace or serving the marginalised in some way. There's so many ways that we can express love, God's love, to a lost and broken world. American author and preacher Max Lucado, he said this: God's love is not a reward for good behaviour. It's the heartbeat of heaven. Lucado reminds us that love is proactive, not reactive. We are meant to seek, to serve, to love one another. I don't know what time Vanessa had to get up this morning to get here to play keys for us. I'm pleased she did. I got up early. I mean, it's weird. I got up early this morning, even though the service here starts later than the service at Ashendon. I still got up earlier. Why? Because I love God and want to serve him and wanted to be here early to make sure I didn't get stuck in traffic somewhere, because I know what traffic's like around here. Is that sacrifice, getting up a little bit earlier? Not in the great scheme of things, no. When Jesus was willing to pour out his life on the cross for me, for you, it's a little bit inconvenient getting up earlier, but it's for the Lord. Fourth point, the gospel, love that saves. Let me be clear, the love that John describes, it's not an abstract ideal. The love that John describes here is personified in Jesus Christ. He is the one who came to save. He is the one who came to reconcile. He is the one who came to restore. In his death, on the cross, he bore our sins. In his burial, he was laid in a tomb, showing that the penalty for sin was complete, that he'd paid the price. And then with his resurrection, he rose. He defeated death. He offers eternal life to all who will repent and believe in him. And friends, Christmas and Advent, it's a call for us to respond. We can't love God authentically unless we recognise what it is he's done for us. He's paid the price for our sin. I don't know everyone in this room. Maybe you're one of those people that have perhaps been coming to church for a very long time, or maybe you're new here. But maybe you've not yet come to that place where you have put your faith in Jesus. Yes, you know of him, you've heard about him, but you haven't taken that step to be in relationship with him. Friend, let me encourage you this morning to take that step, to accept the gift of eternal life that is yours when you repent and accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour. God's love isn't distant. God's love is real. You can know and be in relationship with the Lord and Saviour of this world. But you need to respond in faith. Let me encourage you this morning to examine your heart. And those of us who are believers, those who have known the Lord for a long time, ask ourselves the question, are we living in God's love? Have we fallen into worldly ways? Or are we truly walking with our eyes fixed on Jesus? And this week, it's 4 days to Christmas. Is there a practical way that you could show God's love to someone else? Is there someone that you could serve anonymously this week? Is there someone that you need to reconcile with because back in 1963, they wouldn't give you that extra cake with the after-church refreshments? Or maybe there's someone that you can share the gospel with, a friend, a family member. Just pull them aside and say, you know, the real reason for the season is Jesus. This is why he came. This is why I love him. Would you like to know him? And at this Christmas time, it is important to rest. It is important to rest in the truth. The truth that God's love is perfect, that God's love is steadfast, that God's love is empowering, and that in him and through him all things are possible. My benediction to you this morning, my exhortation to you is, may the love of God revealed in the birth of Jesus Christ fill your heart and overflow through your life. May your family, may your church and your community see the light of God in all of your actions and in all of your words. May you proclaim the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. This Christmas time, may we go in peace. May we love, may we serve, may we experience that deep joy of knowing the Lord and Saviour. And may we be thankful for this certain hope that we have, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, now and evermore. Amen.